Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. I'm Michael Kohlberg. I am today in New York City. I'm a psychotherapist here and in Hudson, New York, and I'm here with my friend Ann Ortley.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm here at the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side. I'm Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York. And suddenly, I was taken over by the spirit of Debbie Reynolds. And we are here on the January 11th of New Year, 2017, 2017. It's a one, Michael. We're beginning again, a new beginning. Always good. So, and what we do here on Scorpio's Talking is we talk about things. And solve the problems of the world, because if we were in charge, the world would be a good place. Not that we're in charge, so we sit here in our peanut gallery and talk about it. And we're back from vacay, and we're back from the holidays, and I had a vacation last week, so I was off being laying on my couch reading books. It was great. You don't get to do that enough anymore. There's no book reading time. So, and what were you doing last week?
I read hours every day.
I know, you're lucky.
I do.
You have a life, nice life where you get to read every day. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to read hours every day.
I don't know where I was last week.
No.
Oh, I do. I was in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's what I was doing. So,
Philly, we love Philly, the land of cheesecakes.
Yeah, I didn't really see it, but it was...
Oh, you didn't see Philly? No.
No, we went down, we're in a hotel, and then we're at the...
We came back, right?
Abramson Center, which was a pretty amazing place. So, and then we came back.
Okay.
So here we are.
Yeah, in a new year. So what are we going to talk about today? Meryl?
The
Golden Globes?
No.
You Golden Globes?
No.
Okay. Did you see Chuck Schumer's letter to Donald?
No.
Mitch McConnell? It was very cute.
Good.
Yeah. I loved it. All the stuff that Mitch McConnell wrote to him when Obama came in, he
crossed, oh, yeah, I saw it. He crossed it out. Yeah.
Mailed it back to Mitch. I thought
that
was really good.
Yep.
That was my laugh for yesterday. So I was like, ha, ha, ha. Oh, I love you. I had a boss like that when I was back in employment days.
Mm-hmm.
He actually wasn't a boss. It was a guy I liaised with a lot. You know, you liaise with different departments, which is kind of one of those weird words. And he was in the IT department, and we would, of course, ask him for things. And we would mail him letters and request stuff, and then he would scribble back on the letter that you wrote and mail it back to you, right? And it used to drive my boss crazy because the letter would come back with no, you know, like an exclamation point. And that was it. And there was no paper trail because he didn't write you back. He just mailed your letter back. And then she would say, write again. And I'd be like, okay, you know, we would write again, and he would write no and mail it back, you know. And then periodically she would get on a plane and go to Burlington, Vermont, which is where they all were, because AIG owned Stowe, Vermont. C.V. Starr bought a mountain because he wanted to learn how to ski. So the data center was up in Vermont. And this guy was just, you know, that was how he handled it. There was no, the kid at his desk, he'd write no, he'd mail it back, or he'd write yes and give it to somebody to do. And that was it. You know, it was very clear. You know, turnaround was precise and clean, and no paper on his desk, man. So, drove her crazy. I thought it was pretty funny, actually.
Burlington's a weird place.
Mm-hmm. I've never actually, I mean, I went there and interviewed when I was looking for colleges, because there were a couple colleges I applied to up there,
mm-hmm.
University of Vermont and St. Joseph's College.
Yep.
But I didn't end up going there.
Rachel went to camp. That was the airport. So I used to fly in with her. It was one of two places in the United States where every single time I was in the airport, I was completely searched.
Really?
Everything was searched. Every time. And one time, it was a long day. I was on my way back. And I went through the whole thing again. But with such abruptness. Rudeness, really. And I was getting irritated.
Mm-hmm. Irritated.
Mm-hmm. And I, at the time, was trying to quit smoking with saying the rosary.
Oh, okay.
So the guy's going through my bag, and he reaches for this velvet box.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and I had to stay behind a line. And I leapt forward. I kept my feet behind the line, but I leapt forward with my body and went, don't touch that. And he, like, reached for his gun.
Mm-hmm.
He opened it, and it was a rosary. And he looked at me like nothing could have surprised him more. And he said, I'm so sorry. And I went, bless you, my son. And that was the end of it.
And then you never got searched anymore? They put a picture up saying, he's a priest. My God, he's got a rosary.
That was the end of that search.
Uh-huh. That was the end of that search, right? Funny. I love it. Well, they're border state, too, you know. So they're big on trafficking up there.
Yeah, and I really, you know.
Yeah, you don't look like a sex trafficker to me, Michael, but
no.
Them, they did.
No, it's just, it's a different frequency, and it just triggers people.
Yeah.
It happens to me in Milwaukee, too. And there was a time that I had a sandwich, and they took books and put them through, like, three times and the sandwich four times. And they finally handed it back. They just wanted to bust my chops. And I said, one can never be too careful with chicken salad.
Yes.
So, whatever.
So what have you been noticing in your world? Seeing we're not talking about Meryl or...
Can never be too careful with
one
chicken
can never
salad.
Be too careful with chicken salad.
So that means that no complacency.
Right.
The reason I don't want to talk about the Golden Globes is I know too much about
a good deal
of that.
You know too much about what?
A good deal of that and a good deal of the people who were there. I mean, it's Gene's business, and I've been in it a long time.
Yeah.
So,
I get it.
I'm having problems with a lot of people speaking out, furthering, which really, when it registers with me as them furthering their own brand,
mm-hmm.
I think what Meryl said was appropriate
mm-hmm.
and well spoken. We have to be quite careful. Not with her. I mean, I think she did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. So she didn't say his name either. I mean, it was very...
No, but there's no point in ever saying that
everybody
name.
Everybody knew who he was.
It's not just him is the point.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's the energy. And something has been unleashed that needs to be healed.
Right.
Or contained.
Well, her comment, it made them laugh and show their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. You saw their teeth. Yeah, you saw their teeth. And there's that part of, I mean, you know, I periodically have, I'm reading People of the Line, Michael. I brought it to Florida. It's hard to go through.
Well,
but
I read
a little bit in Florida.
Yeah, I strongly suggest if you're going to read that, you read it in one setting.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a couple hours, really. Just read it once and get it out of your space after
that. Well, I keep falling asleep during it.
Yeah, well, that's...
That's me wanting to not read it.
Yeah, so, I mean, but just mm-hmm. do it once and get rid of it. It's it's a very, very powerful guide to noticing evil.
Yeah.
And so you want the information, but you don't want it around you.
You don't
want
to sit in
it. No, you do not sit in that. It was incredibly helpful to me when I read it.
But I found
We're talking about People of the Lie by M. Scott Peck.
Right. Michael and I talked about it last year. Ha ha, we can say last year. And I thought, you know, I've never read that. I read his other ones, or two of his other ones. I didn't read when I looked on the internet, he actually wrote a few more I didn't read.
Yes.
But I remember The Road Less Traveled because I read that right after I'd started getting into therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And the opening line, life is difficult, and it was right after my mother had died.
Right.
And really, you know, really feeling very much that life was difficult. And right now, for whatever reason, I keep running into, I know why. I keep running into people who are, life is difficult. You know, and for me, it's been hard and, it's definitely rattled me on some core level, but it's also, I just keep running into people that are really just, you know, on the edge of exhaustion or the edge of
Well, I think that
afraid,
people are exhausted.
Huh? Pardon?
I think people are totally exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what that is. It's it was pointed out to me by a couple of different healers that people are on empty.
Yeah.
I know it's a transition period from one
to the next.
To the next, but I think I'm choosing to deal with it by being conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it means that I am needing to learn how to receive,
mm-hmm.
and which is not my strong suit. I'm a much better giver.
Mm-hmm.
And having to ask for help sometimes,
mm-hmm.
because of all the stuff I have to do.
Right.
And that's one thing. And the other thing is, when I can't, I can't.
Yep.
I mean, I walked out of a medical appointment yesterday. I did not bring it up, and it was after the important part was over. But both Gina and Rachel turned to me and said, you don't need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I, the first thing that occurred to me is, I don't know if I can get out of here by myself, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
And went home and just was, like, flat until the next thing I had to do.
Right.
So it's a question of observe when you have to stop, and it's going to be at odds with what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Absolutely stop is my advice. And I think the most important thing is that we need to learn to trust ourselves.
Right.
And if you're getting the message to stop, and you hear that message,
mm-hmm.
you can have a conversation with yourself and go, absolutely, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I can only stop for 10 minutes now.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the biggest bang for the buck?
Mm-hmm.
And it might be get up and put ice cold water on your face and your wrists.
Mm-hmm.
It might be drink a glass of water. It might be look out the window. It might be whatever. But the point is that it's cementing your relationship with yourself. Because, as I said, the easiest way to put it inside of you is we're every age we've ever been,
mm-hmm.
including whatever level of adulthood we've arrived at in the moment. And if it's I can't do anymore, that pretty much is a full screen presentation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that would mean that you're one of the younger parts of yourself, because the difference between the adult parts of ourselves and all the children we've ever been is that when you're a child, you can't handle complexity, so you're full screen.
Right.
And the adult is the only part who can handle complexity and can have multiple layers of stuff all at once.
Simultaneous reality.
Right. So that's the part of me that's going, you know, that's figuring out, well, if I, you know, do this and this and this, I can make it through the rest of the day kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other part of me was going, there is no more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just pulled it together to be at the important part of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to it and I left. Even though it got me, you know, like 15 minutes, it was, I also trusted myself. I felt more grounded and more secure.
Right.
And that's what's really important, because that is what's
sustaining.
Yes, but it's also what's all the places we used to get that sense are no longer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we cannot get a sense of groundedness by looking outside.
Mm-hmm.
The world is in flux.
The world is in flux. This is the that's it. The world's in flux, and so thus are we. Hmm. Well,
and
I like that full screen thing when, as opposed to choices, because I do notice the difference.
Yeah,
when
my little
4-year-old's up and running, as opposed to when.
Well, it doesn't need to be four. The first thing you're asking.
No, I mean I know when she shows up, and she's got an all or nothing attitude, man.
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of times you've been like that at different ages. So what I'm saying is, the first thing you ask is,
mm-hmm.
okay, how old are you? And
right.
just whatever you get back, that's what go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I want to hear.
Yeah.
I'm right here listening. What's going on? And listen. And there's a whole process for it, which, you know, if it's helpful to people, they should let you know, and then I can talk about it.
Oh, I know. We're going to get emails saying it's helpful. Tell us the process. I already know, Michael, that this is one of the people who are going to, right, you should say it. Tell us.
Well, I learned it from this particular version of it from Catherine Woodward Thomas, who created Calling in the One, who I think is a really good person and was a really good therapist when she was practicing that, and is a really good teacher. And basically, you notice, you ask, so how old are you? And you get back, like, I'm six. Okay? Come on. And then the way I set it up was I would be sitting, I would imagine myself sitting, and I'd imagine that I would put the six-year-old in between my legs so that his back was against my chest.
Right.
Lean back.
Him.
And not even hugging, just so that I was supporting, basically.
Okay.
And I'd go, so what's going on? Well, you know, this is happening, blah, blah, blah. And go, I hear that this, you know, you're really angry. Yes, I'm really angry. What else? And you go through every single feeling. And at each time you go, look, I can't fix this for you, but I'm here, and you're not alone.
Okay.
And that is incredibly helpful over time. But you've got to be religious and build that muscle so that no matter what happens, you have a part of you which is a little separate, who's observing, and who can help you understand that you're having this experience. But the helpful thing to do is to remove your reaction from all of it, which is usually fear or rage, and just see what exactly is happening and go, well, here are the options. So that you can actually count on yourself when you need it. And no one can take that away from you.
Right. Because you're there for yourself.
Yeah. And in terms of,
so you don't fix it for the little six.
You can't.
You just support them. And
no, I mean, you're not taking on the responsibility of fixing something. You're taking on the responsibility of acknowledging it's happening and being there for yourself.
Right.
Then you turn your attention to what are the options and what's the best choice.
Once you're comfortable.
And that's a hypothesis about what to do next, knowing that in the next moment you can go, well, that was not the right choice. I'll make a different one. So you bring yourself to the present. And you make sure that you know that you have your support
have
there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you are a big personality or a big spirit and you spin out of control, it can be pretty unsettling for your end of the block. I don't know how I meant to talk about something, and then we got diverted, but I can't remember what it was related to. But it had to do with what to do now.
With the empty thing? With the being running on empty and people being overwhelmed? That one?
Yeah, I mean, we were at dinner last night, which I didn't, and it was a sort of a business thing for Jean. And Rachel was with us. And there was no way I could make it, but I insisted that this dinner happen. It had to do with a family business, not work business. And it finally happened. So it was nice. I mean, I've known these people for forever, and they're quite elderly. But we needed to discuss some stuff, and I was hoping that would happen. And conversation at one point got around to the confirmation of the Attorney General.
Sessions.
Yeah. And they said, well, let's see what happens. And I couldn't let that pass. I just got a very clear, and it, in two sentences, it went way past being polite. And I just stated the facts, you know, that this is a 70-year-old person who has generated a long record. Read it. It doesn't matter what he's saying now.
Right.
And, you know, it got a little bit more specific. And and I got jumped on. Mm-hmm. Except by Rachel, who said, you needed to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she got, like, it was one of those things that I really keep my mouth shut and stay out of it. People are entitled totally to their own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I knew what I said. Let's see what happens. I said, that reminds me of a long time ago when I heard, let's see what happens. He's a really good watercolorist about Hitler. You know, it's like that's what people were saying.
Right.
And look what happened.
And look what happened.
So one needs not to give away their power.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're giving it away in exchange for the help or expectation that their needs will be met, that needs to be really looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how this hateful world perpetuates itself, is that my needs are important, but other people's aren't.
Right.
And we're at a place now where we actually absolutely have to, I say this over and over and over, pay attention to what's happening to humanity and other sentient beings on this planet.
Right.
Because the things that are happening are not the things we're being told to pay attention to.
Right, right, totally. And the more we're tuned into it, the better it is, because we're tuning in and we're
yes.
not being distracted by whatever the distraction.
I mean, there's lots of geological things going on.
Yes.
Movement of people is accelerating. There are a number of things that are planetary things. They're not political things. They're not belief things. They're actually happening. And we have to pay attention to them.
Yes. Yes. We ain't going to have no Earth.
And we're not.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because last night I went to bed. A friend came over and I picked up the mail, and there was an article in New York Magazine about Jared Kushner.
Yes.
Ivanka's husband.
Yes.
And so I was reading it. And, you know, it kind of went into the history of what his father did, why he got thrown in jail, and Chris Christie prosecuted the father.
Right.
And so then Jared, of course, is avenging his father.
Right.
Which was this, you know, because there was this whole sub-drama, which I didn't really have tuned into, with the politics of why Christie was kicked to the curb by Trump. And,
right.
And so reading it, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. This is you know, we're working, and I was always struck by, and I don't know how to explain it other than when I was in corporate America and there would be the politics going on above your head, and it was like playground shit that hadn't been resolved, but they were all big doing playground shit. And, you know, it was always like, don't you see that you're like 5 years old right now and you're just playing it out with who has the ball? And King of the Mountain, you know, because there were always the politics. And, you know, a lot of the corporate takeovers are like a Carl Icahn or, you know, the Raiders and, you know, killing them off and betting against them. It was like big, big game playing. But it was very primal because it was all tied back to King of the Mountain.
Well, it's all about personal power.
Yeah, personal power relative and avenging or fixing
right.
or whatever. And I was like, oh, I get it now, and a different level. You know, it was like this, you know, as I was going to sleep last night, I was reading this thing, and I thought, it's probably not the good stuff to read before I go to sleep. But I was like, I get it. On some really basic level, it just shifted something.
Well, what do you mean you get it?
Well, I mean, I hadn't, you know, it was like, oh, okay, this is who this guy is. I get, you know, because they were talking about him as chameleon changing and banishing friends and whatever.
Right.
And it's not. No, it's like George Bush going into Saddam Hussein and saying, well, he tried to kill my daddy. And I'm like, that's why you invaded? I mean, you invaded for the oil fields, but, you know, you're blaming it on he tried to kill my daddy, so I'm taking him out. I'm like, really? And that energy of these guys with a lot of power going after people and getting and back to Meryl's speech with, he got them to laugh and they showed their teeth. And I went, wow. You know, it was like this kind of like, I don't know, maybe we're in more trouble than we realize.
Oh.
But it was that kind of like, you know,
Wait.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I saw it in corporate politics.
No.
Yeah.
What do you mean we're in more trouble than we realize?
Because these people are totally operating without any, they're operating on an agenda that's not grounded in doing nice things for the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what I have to say to that.
Yeah.
And
it may be just those who seek power, you know. It's an interesting dynamic. I just want one more, I'll put one more part in. I remember my super, he migrated here with $250 in his pocket. And he had a little business where he would, or a union building, he would bring a porter over, and the porter would pay him $10,000 and live in the basement for a year. And the guy's wife would feed the guy, and he would give Frank his salary. And after a year and a half, he would get his green card and he would, or whatever he got, and he would be able to leave and go work somewhere else. But I'm down in the basement, and Frank's pulling me aside and showing me, he's this big Russian guy, whatever he was, and he goes, look, I have $250,000. No one in, and he showed me a bank account with that much money in it, and he goes, no one else in this building has that much money. I have this money, and I came here with $250 in my pocket. And I kind of looked at the $250,000, and I looked at him, and I'm like, you're probably right. I don't imagine there's a lot of people in this building with $250,000 in the bank. And, you know, he went on to buy an apartment building and a couple of apartment buildings, and he had this little money. But it was like a hunger. And it's a hunger. It's like the in the Buddhist tradition, you know, the hungry folk, you know, the ones that are insatiable. It was that sense. It was that sense of insatiability because it comes from a core place that can never be satisfied. That little six-year-old in their case is never taken care of.
Well, I don't think that I was just struck by we're in more trouble than we thought.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think the way I see it is
you've probably been tuned into this. I haven't been.
Well, the lights are coming on, and more people realize where we are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is nothing new, mm-hmm. but it has to end. And something about, you know, the people who were metaphysically oriented or shamanic input was after the election was we've chosen our agent of change.
Okay.
So what that's going to, how this is going to look may be very, very different than it appears at the moment. But personal power is not appropriate. Sovereignty, absolute sovereignty, so that in each moment you're responsible for making the choice about what you do,
mm-hmm.
totally the way to go.
Right.
And take responsibility for it. Don't go, well, you know, I handed over my power to this person and now they're responsible for me. No. But I think we're going to see just so many changes, and it's going to seem quite surreal.
Mm-hmm.
Like what it looks like right now
mm-hmm.
is I can't imagine how it's going to play out. It's like if you're sitting with, you know, a cup of water
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you have a frying pan that's turned on really high
mm-hmm.
with some oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything's fine. But now tip the water into the oil,
mm-hmm.
and something you never expected to happen is going to happen.
Stand back. Yeah.
So we don't know how this is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the head of it is somebody who, it seems, historically loves creating havoc between the people below him.
Mm-hmm.
So that, we just don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's not limited to this country. It seems to be happening
everywhere. Yeah,
pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more picking up something geological, but I don't have a pulse on it. It's mm-hmm. getting stronger then.
Okay. Well, Mother Earth is alive, you know.
Yeah.
All you have to do is shake her back, and we're all off of it. It's kind of like
yeah.
a big dog, and we're the fleas.
So, I mean, something's gonna
yeah.
happen, but I just can't get a feel for it.
I think it's going to be the volcano in Greenland. That's what I think.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean, there were two earthquakes under the North Pole in the last couple of days, which is highly unusual.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, that's the volcano in Iceland growing. Yep. When that blows, it did the French Revolution, darkened Europe, and everybody starved. So we're due for that to repeat. Every 250 years, at any rate, Blog Talk Lady, British lady, said we're done. She's that girl's good, man. She's on the job. So next week, 10 Thursday, or are we going to stay with
Thursday.
Them?
Thursday. I just have a class tomorrow, so that's why we're early.
That's why we're early. So we'll see you all next week. Ann Ortley signing off in the Bright Red Desk.
Take care, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Bye, Annie.
Bye, Mikey.